So God says, I'm working in you. You're created for good works. I chose you before the foundation of this earth. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the fishers of men. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. It's great to have you joining the broadcast today for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the New Testament book of Revelation. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Silence in Heaven. Let's listen in.
There are those other translations that do not use the word angel. They use the word eagle, okay? And the reason I do not agree that it is a literal eagle, and in the Greek, in some manuscripts, it says literally the word in Greek is an eagle. But if we've been dealing with angels all this time, doesn't it seem odd to be dealing with an eagle? Okay, so here's what I think. I believe that there was an eagle flying, but it wasn't an eagle. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 7, I believe it is, and I could be wrong on that, but it says that one of the living creatures had a face like a what? Eagle. That's the one I believe that's flying, okay? Is that a deal? All right. And I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, and so meaning the atmosphere of the earth, all right? And it says that saying with a loud voice three times, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, the three woes are the three lasting more trumpets that are coming, okay? To the inhabitants of the earth. And the reason? Because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So the three woe judgments begin the darkest, most painful days in the history of humanity. And it says inhabitants of the earth. That is used in the book of Revelation 12 times, and it always refers to a specific kind of people, and that is the lost or the unbelievers, okay? And these unbelievers, they do something. As we will find through the whole study, they refuse God's mercy. They refuse God's love. They refuse to repent, even though they know that these judgments are coming from God. You follow me? And so these are those who really, they don't love God. They don't want God. They love the world. They live for the world, okay? That's the way it's going to be when the church is removed. It's going to be a terrible time on this earth, loved one. And so we know that those who love the world and live for the world, they don't love the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 52:3, you love evil more than good. And boy, that's a great way to describe what's coming upon this planet. Now, I want you to do something with me. I want you to turn to 1 John 2:15. If you have a Bible, if you have an app, you have a whatever you used, you can get there, right? 1 John 2:15 from the Apostle of Love is a command, all right? And he says this, do not what? Love. Do not love. Do not prize or value the world. Don't do that. He says, don't love the world, meaning the unclean, fallen world system under Satan where God is left out and it's organized against God. The world doesn't love the Lord, okay? He says, and don't love the things in this world, the false things that this world can offer. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, Satan offers the people of the world a life in such a way that the unbelieving world, they feel independent. They feel empowered, yet they don't know they're under the control of the wicked one. Did you know that? Yes. And so if you love the world, it excludes the love for God. Look at 16. For all or everything that is in the world system, the Antichrist world system where God is left out, it says, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the what? the world. It never originated with God. It's alien to the heart of God. And the world is passing away, meaning passing out of existence. And the lust therein, or the lust of it. Now, who's going to last? But he who does the will of God abides how long? I want y'all to listen to me now. I know we're Christians this morning. We're saved. Praise the Lord. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? But I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know how you feel about the life that you're living right now. No matter how old you are, I'm going to tell you something. Life is short. It's so quick and so short, and we're nothing, loved one, like the Bible says. What does James tell us? He says, what is life? Well, it's nothing but a vapor. It appears for a while, then it just vanishes away. And I think every Christian should always look inside and say, am I living for Jesus, or am I living for what the world can give me? You follow me? Very, very important, loved one, because if you're living for the world, you're living for a world that is passing away. We are called to be disciples of Christ, aren't we? Did you know the word disciple is the most used word in the New Testament for a new believer, a new creation in Christ? Now, the Bible is very clear. Jesus, what did he say? He said, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want to follow me, he says, then deny yourself. That means to disown yourself. It means to live only for the Lord and take up your cross daily and follow me. Amen. That's what a true disciple does. Now, you're not saved by taking up the cross of Jesus and following him. Did you know that? Yes. You follow Jesus and you take up the cross because you are saved. It's very important. So we're not talking about, you know, sonship here. No, when we ask Christ to be our Lord and we mean it in our hearts, we are born from above. Amen. But there's something about today's church, they might pick up a part or a piece of the cross, but they don't take the whole cross upon themselves and say, Lord, it's no longer my will. It's your will, whatever you want. And can I tell you that if you do that, you'll never be dissatisfied? No, you may be as you grow in Christ. We can all get there. But the thing is, if you do that, then the adventure begins in your life. And I'm not saying it's always easy. It's not going to be painless. You're going to be judged. You're going to be persecuted. Amen? Okay, so what? Our life is so short. But when you live for Jesus, that's when the power is there. Okay? Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 10:38. He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Ooh, that's tough. How about this one? Luke 14:27. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Man, you know, we look at the world and struggle for the world and think that whatever the world offers, we need. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me testify before you right now. I've lived a long time, and I can tell you that when you follow Jesus, whatever he gives you, you didn't earn, and whatever he gives you will never bring guilt. He can give you $50 million, but it'll never make you guilty. Do you understand me? Whatever the Lord gives you, everything I have, everything Becky has, all I have, I can honestly test before you right now. I didn't earn any of it. He gave it all to me. Amen. And he loves you so much. You follow him and he'll take you places. You'll get into the plan of God. Say, well, Bill, I thought we were in the book of Revelation. We are. I'm not yet finished. Now, so with all that being said, I think the book of Revelation should be a wake-up call for the church of Jesus Christ. You should be saying to these people, listen, I don't hate the lost. How can you hate the lost? Jesus died for the lost. Amen? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed not perish, have everlasting life, loved one. So the book of Revelation, when you study it, it should be like a call to arms. I want to be a fisher of men. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. Why? Because I have and you have the greatest news in the world. It's called good news. Amen. Remember what Paul said? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power, dunamis, the power of God. The good news is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To the Jew first, then unto the Gentile, Romans 1:16. Then the next verse says in verse 17, and the just shall live by faith. Oh, listen, we have the greatest news on this planet. God's word is telling us in our study, loved one, that, listen, a massive global event is coming, and it will usher in the end of all human history. And you know, I'm not for sure how all of it's going to work, but I can tell you this much. We are living in a time, as we study this, and matter of fact, it could never happen before. We are living in a time right now when such a catastrophe is humanly possible. Let me read this to you. I just studied this out yesterday. This is from the Center of Defense Information. It says it estimates that the United States alone has an arsenal of 35,000 nuclear weapons. Each one of these bombs carry the equivalent of 460 million tons of TNT, 35,000 times greater than the atomic bomb that killed 70,000 people in Hiroshima in 1945. Think about that. Russia's H-bomb. Just 20 of their bombs could destroy 75% of Americans' population in less than an hour. American retaliation includes enough nuclear warheads to wipe out 400 million people in Russia and China within 30 minutes. Okay, that's where we are right now. But I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We're talking about the book of Revelation. 2 Peter 3, 7. He writes, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word," meaning God created the world, he's going to judge the world, okay, the same word of God. Listen, "are reserved," man, this earth, the heavens, they're reserved for what? For fire. How long? Until the day of what? Judgment. That's God's day of judgment, loved one. "And perdition of ungodly men." So let me tell you something. The way I see Scripture, God, not man, determines the end of the world. Amen? But we live in a dangerous time. Now, on earth it says, I just read it, the heavens and the earth, they are preserved for future punishment. Think about that. Not only that, they are reserved or kept guarded for under fire until the day of judgment. Man, think of that. It's like everything got a calendar moment. And it goes on, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack. He's not late concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish," amen, "that all should come to repentance." Now here it comes. "But the day of the Lord," we're talking from the book of Revelation, and here's some more information about it. "But the day of the Lord," the day of God's wrath, "will come as a thief in the night." When Jesus comes back, it's all over, amen. And look what's going to happen. The heavens will pass away. They're going to vanish right before our eyes, what's left of them. It says they're going to vanish or pass away with what kind of noise? Great noise. Do you know that word right here is only used here in the New Testament? And it's unbelievable, that word. It's like a hissing, or like if you've ever fired shot an arrow and that sound, if you will. And it says, "with a great noise." And here's another unique word. "And the elements," that word is the building blocks of our universe, the atoms. It says, "and the elements will" what? Melt. They're going to unloose themselves, if you will. And it's going to happen with fervent heat. Now watch what happens. Both the earth and the what? The works, very important word. The works that are in it will be burned up. J.B. Phillips, who a great expositor of God's word, who is in heaven now, here's what he said about this prophecy from Peter. He said, "Peter's prophecy uses the precise terminology that accurately describes a nuclear explosion." And the three words, elements, melt, and noise. Man, listen, I don't know how you look at all of that and we read it, and I know we can't comprehend it really, but loved one, the heavens and the earth, the works vanished. I mean, they're gone. The only reality that we have ever known is gone. Everything that man created, coveted for, murdered for, fought wars for, and thought that it was sacred will never, no, never, no, never be ever seen again. Every Christian must ask themselves, what are you really living for? that which is passing away? Or are you going to live for that which lasts forever and ever and ever? Look at what he says now in verse 11. Very, very important. Therefore, in other words, what we just talked about, therefore, since all these things, the earth, the heavens, the works, will be dissolved, burned up, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Well, loved one, if all this is going to pass away, and everything that you have in your garage and in your storage facility and in your attic and in your closets, it's all going to just burn up. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a nice home. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a nice yard or whatever, nice clothes. No, but it means what value do you place on that? Amen? Take care of what God has given you. Never neglect it. That's a horrible thing. Always take care of what God has given you. But loved one, listen, it's all going to be gone. So with knowing what's coming, I mean, we know the future of the lost. What kind of people should we, the church, really be? Should we not be saying, I'll do anything to get a person saved? Do you want anyone to go through that? No. Love them. No, we should be out there as taking many people as to heaven with us as we can. Listen, the Bible tells us clearly, all of you, me, all of us, that you know God chose us in Christ before time began. Amen? Think about that. You didn't have anything to do with it. And he chose us, Ephesians 2:10, it says that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. God has a plan for each of us. Man, he has an adventure for each of us. The Bible tells us that, I don't know, Colossians 1:10, that we can be fruitful in every good work. And the reason we can be fruitful in every good work is because it says in Timothy that the Word of God has equipped us for every good work. Amen? We have everything we need. Well, then walk in it. That's what it says in Ephesians 2:10, that we should walk in it. Walk in the plan of God. Walk in the purpose of God. And listen, not only that, the Bible says in Philippians 1:6 that you, me, we are good works. Amen? Amen? Good work. Why? Philippians chapter, 2, 12 and 13? For it is God who worketh in you to do his good pleasure. Amen? So God says, I'm working in you. You're created for good works. I chose you before the foundation of this earth. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the fishers of men. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? That's what we all need to ask ourselves, loved one. And then in verse 12, he says this, looking for, that word means literally expectancy and being excited, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, which dwells what? Which righteousness dwells. Well, praise the Lord for that. We're the body of Christ. Amen? We are his church on earth. Maybe we remember old Zig Ziglar? Remember, what did he say? You have stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes. Never mind. You know, maybe the church of Christ, us, all churches, but we're talking to us this morning. Don't you think that maybe we really ought to obey the command, Philippians 2:5? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't that just narrow it all down? We're to act like one man, think like one man. Amen? Let this mind, let his mind be your mind. Love people like he loved them. Go about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what we need to be. We need to be busy about the Lord's business. Amen? You know, we hear it all the time. Let's make America great again. Well, I'd rather make America holy again. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I'd like to make Haltom holy. Amen? And the only way they can do that is no one else can do it but you, because God has called you to do that. I want you to listen to me now, and I'm right on time. I'm not going long or anything. I'm so thankful. That's because the Lord had me shave off 30 minutes of this sermon this morning. One day at the end of time, when on that day of judgment, whenever the books of life are all closed, at the end of the glorious thousand-year reign of Christ upon earth, and it's all over with, the judgments are now past, and everything is now gone, and we step into the eternal state, in heaven. And we will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Can I tell you something? There's nothing here that everything that you have is in heaven. It's not here. Now, what you need, God is going to supply you. He'll never let you down. But love on all that we have and all that we're going to have is not found here. It's found in heaven. We don't lay our treasures upon earth, do we? No, we lay our treasures up in heaven. Why? We are citizens of heaven. Our home is in heaven. Our reward is where? In heaven. It is not here, loved one. And heaven is a real place, and Jesus has already prepared a place for you and me. Amen? All we are waiting on is transportation to get there. And one day that's going to happen. So the thing is, how are you going to live? What's this next generation, when my generation, when we're not here anymore? What are you going to do if the rapture hasn't happened? You have to gird yourself up now. You have to develop your spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible study, loving people, raising your family now. You can't do that tomorrow. You have to do it now. Does that make sense? You don't have tomorrow. You only have now. Now. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're listening live. You're listening on the radio. I don't know. Maybe you're just, you don't know Jesus Christ. You're lost. Well, don't be left behind. I mean, the rapture could happen at any moment. I mean, come on. That means you have a choice to make. If you don't know the Lord, are you just playing Christianity? Come on. You're just a Jesus namer. That's it. No possession, just profession. No, listen, you cannot live. Either you're going to live for a world that's passing away, or you're going to live for a world that'll never pass away. It's just that simple. And that means that you can make Jesus Christ your Lord. It means you can be born again. You can be saved. That's what it's all about, to have new life, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to serve the one who loved you and died for you. So, you know, if you don't know the Lord, you're not sure that you know the Lord. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, you know, you can make that decision right now. You can get right with God, or you can be left behind by God. It's your choice. But if you want to get right with God, if you want to be born again, you want your sins forgiven, you want to be in heaven forever and ever with our Lord, all you have to do is just simply lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Christ this morning. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. God bless you. That's right. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else? Just God bless you. That's right. Just raise it and put it right back down. Anyone else? Lift it high where I can see. Last call. Anyone else before I pray? If you feel that tug on your heart, please lift your hand. Please, in Jesus' name, if that's you. Last call. I see it. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Father, I thank you for those that lifted your hands. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, I want you to help me. Those that are listening live, if you lifted your hand, you pray this prayer as well. Say, Father, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to live for the world. I want to live for you. I want my sins forgiven. I want a new beginning. I want new life. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And Father, I believe in my heart you raised him from the dead. And Father, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life and believe that you raised him from the dead, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor's study of Revelation continues tomorrow, and we hope you'll tune in once again. And in the meantime, we pray that you have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening to Love Never Fails, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.